nothing like New Mexico. The sky was a washed-out pale blue, the desert bleak and empty in every direction. "This is an old, tired land," Jamie said to himself as he squinted against the baking hot wind. "Used up, dried out. Nothing like the vivid mountains and bold skies of his home. New Mexico was a new land, raw and magic and mystical. This dull, dusty desert out here is ancient. It's been worn flat by too many armies riding across it."
"Like Mars," said one of the other Russians. His voice was a deep rumble, where Zogrodny's was reedy, like a snake charmer's flute. Jamie had been quickly introduced to all four of them, but the only name that stuck was Zogrodny's. "Christ, I hope Mars isn't this dull," Jamie said to himself. Yesterday, Jamie had been at Bethesda Naval Hospital, having the stitches from his appendectomy removed. All the Mars mission trainees had their appendixes taken out. Mission regulations. No sense risking an attack of appendicitis 20 million miles from the nearest hospital. Even though the decisions about who would actually go to Mars had not been made yet, everyone lost his or her appendix. "Where are we going?" Jamie asked. "Where are you taking me?" It was Sunday, supposedly a day of rest, even for the men and women who were training to fly to Mars, especially for a new arrival, jet-lagged and bearing a fresh scar on his belly. But the four cosmonauts had roused Jamie from his bed at the hotel and insisted that he come with them.
"Airport,"
said the deep-voiced cosmonaut on Jamie's left. He was jammed into the back seat with two of the Russians, sweaty, body odor pungent despite the sharp scent of strong soap. Two more rode up front, Zagorodny at the wheel. "Like a gang of mafia hitmen taking me for a ride," Jamie thought. The Russians smiled at one another a lot, grinning as they talked among themselves and hiking their eyebrows significantly. Something was up, and they were not going to tell the American geologist about it until they were damned good and ready. They were solidly built men, all four of them, short and thick-set, like Jamie himself, although the Russians were much lighter in complexion than Jamie's half-Navajo skin. "Is this official business?" he had asked them when they pounded on his hotel door at the crack of dawn.
"No business," Zagorodny had replied while the other three grinned broadly. "Pleasure! Fun!"
"Fun for them, maybe," Jamie grumbled to himself as the car hummed along the concrete of the empty highway. The river curved off to their left. The wind carried the smell of sun-baked dust. The old town of Tiuratam and Leninsk, the new city built for the space engineers and cosmonauts, was miles behind them now. "Why are we going to the airport?" Jamie asked. The one on his right side laughed aloud.
"For fun, you will see."
"Yes," said the one on his left, "for much fun."
Jamie had been a Mars trainee for little more than 6 months. This was his first trip to Russia, although his schedule had already whisked him to Australia, Alaska, French Guiana, and Spain. There had been endless physical examinations, tests of his reflexes, his strength, his eyesight, his judgment. They had probed his teeth and pronounced them in excellent shape, then sliced his appendix out of him. And now, a quartet of cosmonauts he'd never met before was taking him in the early morning hours of a quiet Sunday for a drive to outer nowhere, Kazakhstan. For much fun. There had been precious little fun in the training for Mars. A lot of competition among the scientists, since only 16 would eventually make the flight. 16 out of more than 200 trainees. Jamie realized that the competition must be equally fierce among the cosmonauts and astronauts. "Have you all had your appendixes removed?" he asked. The grins faded. The cosmonaut beside him answered,
"No, it's not necessary. We do not go to Mars."
"You're not going?"
"We are instructors," Zagorodny said over his shoulder. "We have already been turned down for the flight mission."
Jamie wanted to ask why, but thought better of it. This was not a pleasant topic of conversation.
"Your appendix?"
the man on his left asked. He ran a finger across his throat. Jamie nodded. They took the stitches out yesterday. He realized it had actually been Friday in Bethesda, and now it was Sunday, but it felt like yesterday.
"You are an American Indian?"
"Half Navajo."
"The other half?"
"Anglo,"
said Jamie. He saw the word meant nothing to the Russians. "White. English." The man sitting up front beside Zagorodny turned to face him.
"When they took out your appendix, you had a medicine man with painted face to rattle gourds over you?"
All four of the Russians burst into uproarious laughter.
The car swerved on the empty highway. Zagorodny laughed so hard. Jamie made himself grin back at them.
No, I had anesthesia just as you would.
The Russians chattered among themselves. Jamie got a vision of jokes about Indians, maybe about a red man wanting to go to the red planet. There was no nastiness in it, he felt, just four beer-drinking flyers having some fun with a new acquaintance. Wish I understood Russian, he said to himself. Wish I knew what these four clowns are up to. Much fun. Then he remembered that none of these men could even hope to get to Mars anymore. They had been relegated to the role of instructors. I've still got a chance to make the mission. Do they hold that against me? Just what in the hell are they planning to do? Zavgorodny swung the car off the main highway and down a two-lane dirt road that paralleled a tall wire fence. Jamie could see far in the distance hangars and planes parked haphazardly. So we really are going to an airport, he realized. They drove through an unguarded gate and out to a far corner of the sprawling airport where a single small hangar stood all by itself, like an outcast or an afterthought. A high-wing twin-engine plane sat on squat tricycle landing gear on the concrete apron in front of the hangar. To Jamie, it looked like a Russian version of a twin otter, a plane he had flown in during his week's stint in Alaska's frigid Brooks Range.
You like to fly? Zavgorodny asked as they piled out of the car.
Jamie stretched his arms and back, glad to be no longer squeezed into the car's back seat. It was not even 9 o'clock yet, but the sunshine felt hot and good as it baked into his shoulders. I enjoy flying, he said. I don't have a pilot's license, though. I'm not qualified, Zagorodny laughed.
Good thing! We are four pilots. That is three too many.
The four cosmonauts were already wearing one-piece flight suits of faded, well-worn tan. Jamie had pulled on a white short-sleeved knit shirt and a pair of denims when they had roused him from his hotel bed. He followed the others into the sudden, cool darkness of the hangar. It smelled of machine oil and gasoline. Two of the cosmonauts went clattering up a flight of metal stairs to an office perched on the catwalk above. Zavgorodny beckoned Jamie to a long table where a row of parachute packs sat big and lumpy, with straps spread out like the limp arms of octopi.
We must all wear parachutes, Zavgorodny said. Regulations.
Fly in that? Jamie jabbed a thumb toward the plane.
Yes, military plane. Regulations. Must wear chutes.
Where are we flying to? Jamie asked. Zavgorodny picked up one of the cumbersome chute packs and handed it to Jamie, like a laborer passing a sack of cement.
A surprise, the Russian said. You will see. Much fun, said the other cosmonaut.
He was already buckling the groin straps of his chute. Much fun for who? Jamie asked silently. But he worked his arms through the shoulder straps of the chute and leaned over to pull the groin straps tight. The other two came back down the metal steps, boots echoing in the nearly empty hangar. Jamie followed the quartet of cosmonauts out into the baking sunshine toward the plane. A wide metal hatch had been cut into its side. There were no stairs. When he hiked his foot up to the rim of the hatch, Jamie's side twinged with pain. He grabbed the sides of the hatch and pulled himself inside the plane, without help, without wincing. It was like an oven inside. Two rows of bucket seats, bare, unpadded. The two men who had been sitting in the back of the car with Jamie pushed past him and went to the cockpit. The pilots' and co-pilots' chairs were thick with padding. They looked comfortable. Zavgorodny gestured Jamie to the seat directly behind the pilot. He sat himself in the opposite seat and pulled the safety harness across his shoulders and thighs. Jamie did the same, making certain the straps were tight. The parachute pack served as a sort of cushion, but it felt awkward to Jamie, like underwear that had gotten twisted. The engines coughed, sputtered, then blasted into life. The plane shook like a palsied old man. As the propellers whirred to invisible blurs, Jamie heard all sorts of rattling noises, as if the plane was going to fall apart at any moment. Something creaked, something else moaned horribly. The plane lurched forward. The two pilots had clamped earphones over their heads, but if they were in radio contact with the control tower, Jamie could not hear a word they spoke over the noise of the engines and the wind blowing through the cabin. The fourth cosmonaut was sitting behind Jamie. No one had shut the hatch. Jamie twisted around in his seat and realized that there was no door for the hatch. They were going to fly with it wide open. The wind roared through as the plane hurtled down the runway, skidding slightly first one way and then the other. awfully long.